The thing I've noticed about Democrats, primarily Democrats, not just them, is that they would much rather rule over the ruins than share power in a prosperous society. They would rather have exclusive, total control over smoking ruins than be a part of sharing power in a vibrant and successful and happy society. And this impeachment thing is not just a disgrace to the country. It's much, much worse than that. When you take the most serious, solemn, and weighty provision built into our government and our systems of checks and balances, and you use that as a publicity stunt or as a means to reduce the president's popularity, as we did on round one, then that is terribly, unbelievably destructive. But when you use it simply to put a double asterisk against Donald Trump's name as a personal vendetta led by this awful, awful woman who has nothing in her mind except for her own personal vanity and ego, then it becomes a joke. And this is ruling over the ruins. Impeachment is supposed to be a lengthy, weighty decision that is reached after much struggle. It should be a national catastrophe. I remember pretty well the mood in Washington during the Watergate hearings, which went on for months and months and months, and there's nothing else on TV. Months and months and months. And the country was being torn apart by this horrific idea of, are we going to have to remove a sitting president? This is so contrary to everything we believe in. Is this really possible? Is this actually happening? It did enormous damage. Gerald Ford pardoned Richard Nixon to stop the bleeding, and it cost him the election against Jimmy Carter. That's pretty clear about that. But he did it anyway because Gerald Ford was a good man. And now we're in a situation where impeachment is just a Bronx cheer, you know. That's what it's become. It has just become something else you do to score political points during that news cycle. It's a tweet, basically. Impeachment's basically a tweet now. That's what it is. It's utterly destroying something that is serious, something that's important, and something that's valuable for petty personal gain. And the picture of her standing in front of the Capitol building, addressing the, I don't know, what was it, 20 National Guardsmen there, where she had to come out of the chambers of the House and thank these brave soldiers for protecting our democracy against this insane president. And I think she thinks that this actually makes Donald Trump look worse. But if you're going to have impeachment hearings and vote on it within, I don't know how long it was, but it felt like 24 hours, if that's what you're going to do because you want to, because it makes you feel good, then impeachments become completely irrelevant. And in the same manner of fighting against the Japanese, as I've mentioned many times, you start out fighting honorably by honorable rules. But if people are basically waving a white flag so that you can come and take their surrender and then pull out machine guns and gun you down, or if an enemy soldier is calling for a medic and you send a Marine Corpsman over there and he pulls a grenade and kills three people. Okay, so now that this has been destroyed, then it's destroyed. It's useless. Impeachment is useless. And that means that, mark my words on this, not that you're going to take much convincing, every president of the United States of America from this point forward is going to have impeachment hearings brought against him or her. I absolutely guarantee it. And I not only do I guarantee it, I'm in favor of it. I heard that a Republican congressperson is already thinking about or talking about bringing articles of impeachment against Joe Biden. Should happen the first day that Congress sits. And the reason for that is, since it's been broken, we have to break it further. It's like a bone that's been badly set. You know, you probably know how this goes. If you break an arm and you don't set the bone correctly, you set it at an angle, let's say, now you can't use your hand correctly. You've basically destroyed this arm of yours. And the only thing that you can do in order to recover the use of that limb is to go through the process of breaking it again with a hammer and having a doctor set the bones correctly so that it can heal correctly. And not to lay the analogy on too thick, But if you do that correctly, when the bones basically knit together again, it's actually stronger in that area than it was before. But that's what I am 100% in favor of now. I think the second that Joe Biden is sworn in, impeachment proceedings begin against him. It won't pass the Congress, this Congress. It'll pass the next one. I guarantee you it'll pass the next one. And we need to do it because it's been destroyed and it's been turned into nothing. And if it's going to be turned into a petty weapon, then let's go ahead and break the arm and reset it. Let's just understand that this most serious and solemn and important and weighty and sad, tragic, last-ditch safety valve in the Constitution has been used as basically a we're number one foam sign and basically been exercised by a woman who is as vain and petty and stupid and mean-spirited and out of touch as anyone who has ever walked the halls of American politics. And I have to tell you, that is a pretty high bar to clear. So they got their second impeachment. I think Nancy Pelosi thinks it's going to basically mark Donald Trump, as I said, the guy with two asterisks. But I think what it did is basically removes the asterisks completely. It doesn't mean anything anymore. If you can launch and deliver impeachment charges in the space of 2 or 3 days over something that never happened, something that if this had been a civil trial of any kind or a criminal trial of any kind, there was not enough evidence to even bring charges against Donald Trump, let alone a conviction. But that doesn't matter to them. They know it. That doesn't matter to them. They wanted to get their little shot at the guy. And now we get down to the main point here, because if you think this was about Donald Trump, you've got it half right. And Trump is the person who said, they're not after me, they're after you. I'm just in their way. This wasn't just aimed at Donald Trump, this impeachment clown car circus. It wasn't. It was aimed at you. It was aimed at you. It was aimed at people who voted for him. And the idea behind it is, if we can basically make the case that this president is insane, unstable, and dangerous, then what three adjectives do you think we can apply to the people who supported him? And why do you think Nancy Pelosi made a big point of talking to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and making sure that Donald Trump doesn't have the nuclear codes for the remainder of his time in office? Why do you think she did that? Well, obviously she did it because she hates the president, but that's not the main reason she did it. The reason she and the Democrats did it was they wanted to make a point that Donald Trump wasn't just somebody they liked, he was somebody who was dangerously insane. I should have said three words earlier, it's two. Dangerously insane. Don't forget those two words, because that's what the basis of this entire thing has been since the Capitol break-in. And dangerously insane is the term that they are trying to stick Donald Trump with and plaster all over him, because if Donald Trump is dangerously insane, then the people that support Donald Trump are dangerously insane. And if somebody is dangerously insane, well, then you have to do something to protect yourself against those people. You have to. It's not, you don't want to. God knows. No, you're doing it for their own good. They're dangerously insane. So if you supported Donald Trump, you're dangerously insane. If you continue to support Donald Trump, if you continue to hold MAGA rallies, if you just have a bunch of people getting together and waving the flag, as Donald Trump supporters are known to do, that's also a sign of dangerous insanity. And what do you do with dangerously insane people? Well, you lock them up. And you may have to shoot some of them. You don't want to, heaven forbid. But when you're dangerously insane, you just don't know what dangerously insane people might do. This impeachment was aimed at you, was aimed at the American people. It utterly destroyed one of the most important safety valves in our Constitution. It's gone now. And you could make a case it was gone when Mitch McConnell said that impeachment was off the table for Barack Obama. Paradoxically, by the way, if you're over easy on impeachment, if you just impeach somebody at the drop of a hat, that's destroying the power of impeachment as a safety valve. And conversely, but identically, if you also say that this person is unimpeachable, which is what Mitch McConnell said, during the Obama administration. He's unimpeachable. Impeachment of Barack Obama's off the table because he's the first black president. Okay, well, if it's off the table, then you've also destroyed the power and the safety of this entire idea of impeachment. If he's easily impeached, drop of a hat impeached, impeachment means nothing. If it's impossible to impeach for political reasons or more or PR reasons, then you've also destroyed this safety valve. I have nothing but contempt for this Congress, and I have nothing but contempt for the leaders who would continue to destroy this government in order to control it. And above all of this, the real source of my contempt lies with the 10 Republicans that voted in favor of this. And you would think that Liz Cheney, of all people, you would think that she would be at least one person who understood what false accusations mean, but no. Seems to be the direction everybody's going, so let's do that. Those 10 Republicans all need to go down, every single one of them. I don't know if they've made that vote in order because they thought that would help them get reelected. I suspect that's the case, because there was no actual case to be made in terms of incitement to sedition and all the rest of us. Incitement to insurrection, ridiculous. You can look at a transcript of the speech and see it's ridiculous. But they need to go. And if they're replaced by Democrats, good. I'd rather have Democrats in seats than Republicans who have no spine and who vote like Democrats. At least if there's a Democrat there, I know what I'm facing. A Republican like that is a person wearing our uniform who's shooting at our team. This thing was just, it was just a kick in the butt. And it wasn't a kick in the butt at Donald Trump. It was a kick in the butt at you. It was rubbing our faces in it. It was rubbing salt into the wounds. It was taking a puppy's nose and rubbing it in the filth on the floor to make sure it doesn't do that again, meaning make sure that you don't vote for somebody like him again, somebody who's not part of the Washington establishment. Not much difference anymore, really. So that's it. She's rubbing 100 million people's noses into this. And she doesn't care if she's destroying the government. Doesn't matter to her. Matters to her is her vanity. What matters to her is her $15,000 refrigerators and her latest Botox injections and all the rest of it. She doesn't care about anything other than her personal vanity. She's a malignant narcissist, and so are virtually all of them. All of them. And they've got to go. I want wisdom. I want wise people in government. And when you think of a wise person, you tend to think of a guy in a robe, maybe in a scholar cap and all the rest of it. Wisdom comes from anywhere. And if you think about the people in your life, the influences on you in your life, the people who've made you who you are, if you think about the people who you've always admired and considered wise, then just ask yourself, how would that person do in government? Just think about what an entire government of 435 representatives and 100 senators and a president and 50 governors look like if you just got away from the whole party, I think, get the whole party idea out of there, and just not look at them as Republicans versus Democrats. Just imagine a government of wise people, people with some humility, compassion, as I said, all of these qualities. What would this country look like with wisdom back in government? Because of all the things about the Founding Fathers and the miracle of the creation of this country, and the Constitutional Convention and all of that, you find among those people all kinds of, you find every human weakness, every one of them, vanity, greed, lust for power, lust for fame. You find false modesty. You find eloquence in defense of ideas that really don't deserve an eloquent defense. You find every single vice known to mankind in the Constitutional Convention. And what you find is that despite all of these flaws and defects of the human soul, you found a group of people who understood the human condition and built into the structure of the government that they created. They built wisdom into the system. It's built in. And it's so built in that you can have a government of fools and crooks, which is what we've had for quite a long time, maybe since the beginning. The system was designed by people who are so wise that the system is so wise that you can afford to have it run by crooks and idiots. But what you can't have is crooks and idiots destroying the system. And that's exactly what we saw. Impeachment is in there, and it's a very high bar to clear, and it should be a very solemn and sad and desperate last-ditch maneuver. And that is a wise thing to put into the Constitution. But when you simply destroy it by overusing it, now the crooks and idiots are outstepping the bounds of the system that's designed to contain their stupidity and their greed. Once you start to break down the barriers built into the government against stupidity and greed, then stupidity and greed can run rampant. And the wisdom of our founding fathers, which has basically stayed with us for 250 years because of the structure that they built, the idiot cage and the crook cage that they built to keep these people within the limits of what they can do. All of those separations are just being eroded away, and they're either gone or in the process of being gone. When you look at something like this and you say, well, the impeachment as a tool has been destroyed, it has been, and all the other protections, the destruction of the Senate as being the house of the states with the 17th Amendment, all of it, critical damage. We've taken critical hits, it's just all of it. But the one thing I come back to when I feel the despair of that coming on me is I come back to an analogy that I used early in this show, and that is the idea of a person or a group of people that can take a rusted out, say 1930s Ford sedan, the ability to look at a junkyard and see nothing but rust and see inside this rust and corrosion, kind of those curvy lines of what once was a cool car. And then going up to the guy who owns this thing that's returning to the earth, its tires don't have any rubber on it anymore, it's just simply dissolving away. And buying it from the guy for $50, just probably pay you just to get it off his yard. And then you take this rusted out frame and all of it, shattered headlights and the shreds of tires and wiring that's been eaten away by mice and rats and all of it. You take it back to your house, your garage, or your shop or whatever. And then you begin the incredibly slow and painstaking process of disassembling this thing piece by piece, cleaning what can be cleaned, restoring what can be restored. And when something is so badly corroded that it can no longer function, then what you do is you recreate that part precisely. Precisely. If it turns out that the brake calipers are so corroded that they simply won't handle the loads on them anymore, then you take out the brake calipers and you trace them out and you make new ones from the same material to the exact same design, and you put those in on the car. And anybody who's ever seen a restored car, and that's got to be virtually all of you, knows that, or a restored airplane for that matter, knows that it is possible to take a rusting heap of junk and through hard work, dedication, time, and most especially love of the idea of the project, you can turn that piece of junk into something that looks like it was built today. And that's the only consolation I find in these things. And that is good, solid consolation. That's what we need to be thinking about. This government has become a rusted, corroded, pathetic, ugly, sad, lonely, and depressed shadow of what it was designed to be. But the structure is still there. The design is still there. The curves are still there. The lines are still there. And it is possible to take the pieces that are not broken and just simply take a laser and burn all of the rust and the paint off of those things and repaint it. And for the parts that are too badly corroded, make new parts that look exactly the same as the parts that were broken, because they have to fit in the exact same place. Next thing you know, you got a brand new government. And you can add some safety features that weren't there in the original design, which means that if you were to restore a hot rod from the 30s or something, or a sedan, Ford sedan from the 30s, you can actually make a car that is better than it was the day it was made. You can have one of those vehicles, if you so decide, that has three-point safety harnesses and satellite radio. That's the only thing that gets me through these days of contempt for Congress. Anyway, it's been an interesting week, as always. And I would just leave you with a number. And that number is 71. 71. That's the number that I would request that you would keep in mind over the weekend. Because 71 is the percentage of the way that we are to that 1,000 new member goal that will allow us to bring in some new shows and show you what your money is getting you. You may not think that's important, and you may not think what you might have to do with that, but I'll tell you why it's important. It's important to me. I'll just be honest with you. It's important to me personally to know that there are people who are ready to stand up to this commitment, and for me to know that things are different now than they were before, that things are different today than they were before this November 3rd of 2020. If you've been thinking about it and didn't do it, it would be a good time. That would mean a lot to me, and it would mean a lot to you, and you would be part of this community, which is growing stronger every day. So we'll see how it looks on Monday. But for those of you who did make the commitment, you have my very great personal gratitude, and you are an indication that politics as usual is not going to cut it anymore, and that everything that we didn't do prior to November 3rd of 2020 that got us into this mess, it's not the same after that catastrophe as it was before then. So that'll do it for this edition of Moving Back to America. We'll see you Monday right here on BillWhittle.com.